Well, the issue that I see first up is that I was never consulted about what they're doing in Uluru. I've been to Uluru, but I've never been consulted. Most of the tribal groups around New South Wales, Australia, haven't been consulted. They have delegates, and I don't know who's nominated these people. I'm probably think that they're probably doing the right thing, trying to improve the situation for Aboriginal people, but they need to consult with people. They're heading in the right direction. I think going to a referendum might be a bit hard. I think with the state and federal government, with the Liberal and Labor Party, if they work together, they can do this without going through a referendum. And that's the way to go.
How do we go about actually engaging all of the parties that might want to be involved in this process, though?
If you look at the Australian map, it's covered with all the different tribes. And the way to do that is to have a nomination from each tribe. Or some tribal groups may nominate two or three together, might nominate one person to represent them. But until they get that consultation to the grassroots people, which are, I have a Biripi Waramai tribe. I've got blood in both those areas. But I'm mainly Biripi. And if there's someone nominated from Biripi to attend that, that's fine. I mean, there's New South Wales Aboriginal State Land Council attended, and a lot of the state reps. They don't represent some of the elders in our community. They don't represent tribes.
Why is it? How is that the case?
It's the way the government set it up. They've actually set up land councils in New South Wales, and the land council areas were cut up by the government, or people they employed to set it up as land council, and they were funded. But our elders have never been funded. Our tribes have been recognised. They can claim land rights in another form, but not in the way the state land council does. But the state land council are funded to do this and do that for people. But they never get enough money anyway to do that. But the tribes need to be consulted.
As an elder of this community, what do you see as the issues that we face here in the Manning Valley at the moment?
The issues I see for my part is employment. Now, there are a number of issues, but we have a large number of Aboriginal people, not only in Taree, but all across this nation. Most of our Aboriginal people are unemployed. If you actually employ an Aboriginal person, then he looks after his wife, looks after his children, looks after his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and that spreads out to take care of all his extended family. So they all look after each other. At the moment, there's no jobs. There's no employment. We need to be able to look after ourselves.
What would you like to see done at this point in time to try and address this?
What happens is the government sets aside money for medical services to heal our people. But it's a band-aid. Our need is higher than that. We need to be able to take control of our lives and look after ourselves personally, individually.
So we're trying to fix the problem after it's happened. What do we do to stop the problem from existing?
Well, you've got to start looking at how you can fund organisations or groups who can provide employment and enterprise. And a way to do that is to set up every year the government puts aside money for Aboriginal people for employment and other programs. Now, most of this money is never used and it goes back into internal revenue. I'd like to see a bucket of money put aside for those organisations that know how to run businesses so they can actually run programs and businesses that can then start enterprise and development so they can start employment. And it starts from the grassroots, not from the top down, but from the bottom up.
What would that change?
The thing that would change, I mean, we had a good program. The best program that the government ever gave us was the CDEP, Community Development Employment Program, where everyone worked for the unemployment benefits. Now, I run a CDP through the Perfectly Land Council. We had 200 people on CDP. And they were trained up in a number of areas. They placed with different organisations to get skills. You know, a lot of them went off and got their own jobs. In the last 3 years of CDP, I placed about 128 Aboriginal people in this area into full-time jobs. Then they got rid of the CDP. So, and there were kids seeing their parents going to work for the first time. Never happened before.
So then since they got rid of the CDEP, how do the figures compare? What's Tide dealing with these days?
Well, we run a number. I employ about 19 people.
That's a big drop from 200.
That certainly is. Now, the biggest employer of Aboriginal people in this area is Aboriginal Medical Service. which is it could be at Biripi, it could be at Tobwaba, it could be at the one at Port Macquarie, it could be the one in Sydney or lower. Now, they're funded by the government up front, like the CDP was. They're there to look after the health of Aboriginal people. I don't mind that, but I think it's more than that. We need to be able to look after ourselves, and we need to be working and looking after our children, and the children seeing their parents going to work as a role model, and that's not happening. A lot of the people are allocated out to non-Indigenous businesses in Taree. The ones that I couldn't get to that point, they done work for local land councils on their properties. At least they were going to work, and the money they were being paid was the unemployment benefit.
And the CDEP's been gone for a while now, but you still have programs that you developed in that operating today, hey?
Yeah, our conservation land management team was initiated with the CDP, and it's been going for 15 years now. Those boys that worked for me then are still working, and I've been employed for 15 years.
Have you broached this subject with local council or local government or state government? How's it been received?
I probably have to talk to the local members of parliament. I haven't gone that far yet, but I've done a few interviews. I've talked to a lot of people about this. I'm not the only one saying the CDP should come back. Maybe it could come back in a different form. Maybe the CDP should be initiated again and given to those entrepreneurs the government is saying they're going to work with, which they haven't done so at this point.
Since the CDP tide continues to exist and continues to succeed, what do you think you guys are getting right?
We manage programs very well. We manage our finances. Everything's accountable. The only thing we haven't got is enough money to actually run major programs. We need... we probably would be one of the entrepreneurs that the government's talking about. There's a number of them around who were running businesses before CDP, during CDP, and they're still operating. Some land councils can run programs very, very well, and they were all the organisations that should have received CDP funding. With TIRED, we know how to run programs, we know how to manage money, we're innovative, we apply for everything we can. We're a non-profit organisation, of course, and we're reliant on government funding. So I think we run about 5 programs at the moment, and we actually look at how we can do things. If we apply for funding and we haven't got the skilled people there, then we try and get those Aboriginal people to come in and work with us, and then we get them trained up and away they go, run the program.
How does the government view what you do? Is it looked upon favourably?
Oh, I think the government looks at on the program that TIDE's running for conservation land management as one of the models for the state. I don't know if it's any further than that, but that's what we've been hearing, that they're quite happy with the way that TIDE's running our programs.
Now, you said before that you run programs in driver education. What other fields do you work in?
Yeah, we've got a working on country team, and the government funds us to actually work on Aboriginal land. And so we do weeding, we plant trees, we can do a lot of work on the land council land, it could be Aboriginal places. We also work on local schools where we build bush food gardens at no cost to the schools. And it could be anything that the school wants us to do, within reason, because our funds are pretty stretched. Every year we send out all these letters to all these different organisations asking, what sort of program, what sort of work would you like TIDE to perform for your organisation? Then we try and fit our budget to cover all these areas. All the governments they've been doing for many, many years is throwing money from the top down. We need to look at, if you want to involve the land council in employment and enterprise and development, most land councils get $140,000. And they're supposed to look after all the people in their area. It's unfeasible. First of all, they pay their CEO, then maybe a secretary. They pay for their land rates, water rates, and they pay for the running of their office. There's no money left.
Mm.
They've got land they can't develop. And to run programs and set up enterprise, they've got to be able to develop lands. And for those organisations who are a non-profit organisation like mine, I get a lot of money in, but I got no land. So I've got to try and utilise whatever programs I can to actually look after our mob. At the moment, I'm running a learner drivers program. Now, I get all these young kids their learner's permits and their P's, but they've got no jobs.
So they can't get cars, and so there's, what do they do with it?
Well, that's right. And for those kids who haven't got parents with cars, it's really hard for them to get the 120 hours up, especially if they're under 25 or 26, I think it is now, 26. So sometimes those people will be on L for 3 or 4 years before they can get their black red P's. Makes it really hard.
What are you guys getting up to this week for Reconciliation Week? Is there anything happening?
There is. On Thursday, we've got a meeting with the Department of Aboriginal Affairs. They'll be looking at a language program. We run, like some of our people are now running programs to learn our Gatang language, which is a language of the Biripi people. And from here to Newcastle, that language is spoken. And we have a Department of Aboriginal Affairs come to Tide on Thursday, which is the 2nd, I think it is, 2nd of June. And they're going to be talking about all the changes that the way the program is going to be working for all our people. So it's good to learn all these languages, but we're still not getting people working, you know? I think all these programs that Department of Aboriginal Affairs or other organisations run are good, but I still think we need to get people working.
It's just a matter of how, isn't it? What's the first step and how do we succeed?
Yeah, that's a question that every year, every time we have a different government come in, they send out a paper asking us what our needs are. And we tell them every time, but it's never addressed.
And those needs basically don't change?
Well, they don't. Until we get our people working, it's not only our people it's affecting in small towns like Taree and Kempsey and whatever. Is it most of the young people are unemployed. There's no work. And yet they're supposed to go and get 5 or 6 people to sign a document saying they come and ask for a job. And I think that's a waste of time, unless they can get into some sort of training and get that experience before they can go and do this and get a job. I'm really sad that Centrelink, if a kid doesn't go to a interview, then they can cane him for 3 months. And this not only applies to Aboriginal kids, it applies to non-Aboriginal kids. And then they cut them off for 3 months and the family's got to feed them. And it could be, the Aboriginal people could be pensioners, unemployed people, same as the non-Aboriginal people. And I don't agree with what Centrelink's doing.
No.
Because it just makes it harder for people.
As an elder of this community, Uncle, what would be your message, your advice to the young Indigenous people of this community?
When I was a young person, I mean, I went for a job and I never gave up. But things have changed a lot since I was a young fella. I used to go back and keep asking for the job until they gave it to me. But these days, there's that many people running around now looking for a job. It's really hard to fit into that space anymore. But I say, don't give up. Go to get all the training. Try and get as much programs that you can improve your skills. Then hopefully you can get a job.